Trenin ties it up in the corner. Predators win. Predators 5, Golden Knights 3. And we're 2-0 to start the road trip with a big win in fabulous Las Vegas.
Preds get it done last night. They win in Vegas and now have won two consecutive road games. Welcome in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday morning. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? How we doing?
Did I just hear Max Herz say, we're 2-0? Did he just say that?
He does that a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not realize we had this issue with Max Herz.
Yeah.
We're going to have to have
a sit-down.
We're going
to have a discussion. Yeah.
We?
Yeah. It does it a lot.
You know, and the thing is, I was for Max Herz going to the U2 show. But I'm glad he got left back.
It's been revoked.
Wow. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're good. Real good. Nick Kieser, what's going on?
I'm good. So I'm not the only one that has to be after Joe in the morning time. Max can be tossed over by Joe as well to start things off.
Well,
wow.
Usually you're the one jumping all over people. Not Joe. Not me.
I guess so.
You.
Yeah. Well, at least, Joe, I noticed that you got a haircut yesterday, but so did like five other people, so then I get dunked on for that yesterday, too.
That is true.
I feel like I'm pretty nice to Nick. What's going on here? What am I missing?
I don't know.
Is this an airing? Is this Festivus?
No.
An airing of grievances?
That is a serious grievance I have for Max Herz. We? Don't you say we? You didn't do anything. What the hell did you do, Max Herz? Now you did a great job on the penalty kill tonight, Max Herz.
Is your name Cody Glass? No, I don't think so.
nice performance by Cody Glass. By
it
the
was.
Way. How about that? And Nick Kieser with the call on that.
Kieser's making a late push in Preds Pick to Click. Late season push here. I am totally done. But Kieser's up to 9 now. Correct answer.
And he's just, this is more uncanny than the year that Callie Yarncroke led me to a championship.
It really
out
is.
Out of nowhere.
It really is. We got a lot to get to on the program today. The choice is yours coming up at 6:30. Caroline Fenton will join us at 7 o'clock. And, of course, Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com in the 8 o'clock hour talking all things Titans. We'll take your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Big win for the Preds last night. They get it done against Vegas 5-3. Got out to a 4-1 lead in that game, and then Vegas scored a couple in a row. And, you know, one of those situations where it's that team, they're starting to mount a comeback, and you're thinking, oh boy, are they getting ready to blow this lead? Kevin Lankin in net last night, I thought for the most part he was pretty good, but really the Predators as a whole, that's a good game. You put up 40 shots on the road against that team, you score 5 goals, I mean, you'll take that every single time. And that is now Joe Rexroad in the aftermath of the cancellation of the U2 concert. Back-to-back performances where they look pretty darn good on the road. Apparently message received by the Nashville Predators.
I know. I hate that Barry Trotz is validated for doing this, you know, because I'm just still sort of offended by the whole idea. But I guess, you know, they responded. Take away, because it's like for me as a kid, the coaches who were really got after me were more effective, but a lot of times because I wanted to prove them wrong, right? Like I wanted to show you. I'm going to show you, man. And so apparently this is what's happened. I'm going to give all this credit to the team just showing Barry Trotz that they should have got be able to go to U2. But I'd say it's very timely. I mean, as bad as it was last week. And it's also just really weird how this team is so much better on the road.
It really is.
So much better on the road.
Well, and, you know, they got finally, really the last two games, they've gotten some secondary scoring that they've been needing. I mean, last game, you know, Novak continues to put the puck in the net. Luke Shen scored against St. Louis. Cody Glass puts it in the net last night. Evangelista scored 2 games in a row now. Like, they're getting some secondary scoring, which is what they've really needed for a long time here. And, look, I mean, you told me before the game, they go on the road, score 5 goals, and Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly don't have any of them. It's pretty good. I mean, or Roman Josi. I mean, you'll take that every time. So, I don't know. Again, I don't know who exactly Barry Trotz and specifically Andrew Brunette were referring to with their comments after the Dallas game of, we got people worried about their vacation in here. I don't know who exactly it was. I don't know if it was one person. I don't know if it was a group of people, but they have responded since then. There's no question about that.
That they have. Maybe. Were they – was he talking about the upcoming one-day vacation?
Well,
you too?
Maybe. He could have been.
I don't know. Interesting, among this, you know, why are they better on the road? The secondary scoring. So I saw this, and this is, I think it was Doherty's tweet. Let me make sure. Yeah. Because basically, the factoids, you know, Doherty and Kieser sometimes seem to be dueling with their factoids.
They do.
During games. But, yeah, Doherty got
Kieser's
going to
clench his fist in there. He's ready to go.
Yeah. He's not even listening anymore, is he? Evangelista, so that's 8 of 11 on the road for him. So some of these young guys seem to be better away from home, too. I mean, you know, production-wise, at least, he's better. Why is that?
Do you think that's – I don't know. Like, sometimes you see teams, like, the pressure kind of goes out the window on the road rather than at home when you don't have friends and family around. But that's the thing. Like, you know, Evangelista's family doesn't live here. I don't know. It's just kind of a weird thing.
Well, but, I mean, but another thing about that is if you're a young person who lives in Nashville,
yeah,
you probably have a pretty, I would think, active social life around here, whereas sometimes you get on the road and it's like, okay, team hotel, yeah, and you go to dinner and – so, you know, that might end up being beneficial to you as a young person. I don't know. I'm just speculating in general.
Well, that's the thing. If they just think about where they'd be right now if they were good at home. Not even have to be great, but they've been average at best at home, and I think you could make a pretty strong case below average, especially lately on home ice. So think about where they'd be in the playoff race right now if they were a good home team. Because they've been excellent on the road for the most part. I mean, they've had some stinkers on the road. But for the most part, like when you go back through the season and you look at the just absolute stinkers that they've laid out there, I don't have the whole schedule in front of me, but I would guess like 85% of those have come at home, which has been really weird.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like every time they need a response this year, it's on the road that they find it. But of course, you could flip it around and say, just imagine if they were what you'd expect on the road, how bad they'd be. Well, we'd just be – We'd just be talking trade deadline.
We would. So with that win, they have now tied St. Louis at 60 points. So St. Louis is 29-24-2. They've played one fewer game than the Predators have at 55 games. Preds have played 56. Both of them are tied at 60 points. Minnesota is right behind them at 58 points. They've also played 56 games. And then you've got Seattle and Calgary at 57. And all, you know, the thing about the break and coming on the other side of the break is the Predators forever had played like three or four more games than pretty much everybody in the Western Conference. And now everybody's starting to even up a little bit. So you're all right there and you're keeping pace with that win last night. And look, you've got an opportunity now. You know, LA has a little bit of separation. They're in the first wild card spot at 66 points, but you've got them on the road coming up on Thursday. And Joe, if you can get that one, then I do think you start to allow your mind, if you're like a fan, because if you're the players, it's a dangerous game to play. But if you're a fan, you start to think about, okay, well, you beat Vegas, you beat LA, and you got San Jose and Anaheim coming up this weekend, two of the worst teams in the league. Like, road trip sweep?
Yeah.
We're a long way away from that.
That's the thing. If they beat LA, then I guarantee they'll lose one of those games. I mean, which is – some of that is just
and
the
it is
NHL.
A back-to-back, too, so it is a little bit of a different situation. But
I mean, some of that is just – it's the reality of the NHL. Yeah. By the way, Lankinen starting last night.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was interesting. I mean, look, he hadn't started since, I believe, January 6th was the last time he started. So it's been a minute. And I understand that, you know, UC Saros is your guy. And he's going to get the bulk of the starts coming down the stretch here. There are going to be some games down this final stretch where Lincoln is going to have to play. So I did think it was a good – I mean, at some point you're going to have to put him back in. And you could have waited, I guess, until the back-to-back this weekend. But I kind of like the idea of giving him a game and then having him somewhat, you know, somewhat ready to go for the game coming up this weekend too.
Warmed up, lathered up.
Yeah, and he responded. And yeah, he's done that. Look, he's not been perfect this year, and there have been some games where he's not played well either. But, I mean, Lankinen has come up with some big wins for them on the road this year. I mean, he shut down Edmonton in Edmonton on the road, a win in Vegas last night. Like, he's had some moments this year where he's looked pretty good when called upon on the road.
Two wins against the Stars, yeah exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, it's I hear you. I think so. He's going to get half of this, and maybe – Some of the thought right now is just give Saros a little bit more of a break than he's been getting, and maybe that'll benefit him before he's traded.
Maybe. Well, we got a texter right now that says the win changes nothing. Juice still needs to be traded. This team will get swept by any of the top teams in the West. So the win not doing much from at least a certain part of the fan base last night.
Okay. They can both be true. I mean, this team is trying to make the playoffs. This team in the room, they're trying to perform. Some of these guys are trying to stick in this league with this team, and then the Soros thing is always going to be there.
I mean, look, my mind hasn't changed. Like, I still think that they should sell, and I think they should take a look at, you know, taking as many phone calls as they can and continuing to churn the roster. Now, what I think and what the players in the room think are probably two very different things at that point. So if they, I mean, if they keep winning this week and you find a way to collect some points against LA and you do what you need to do against San Jose and Anaheim, well, then you are going to make the decision pretty hard for Barry Trotz, because, you know, if March 8th rolls around and you're in a playoff spot, that's a tough decision for a GM, regardless of what the plan, I guess, is or should be.
Yeah, well, so who would be – so I think we agree, like, going out and getting someone is silly, right?
Well
– or is that what you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking about. I think going out and getting someone where you're spending any kind of draft, like significant draft capital, is silly. Like, if you go out and add somebody and you spend a fourth-round pick to get them, that doesn't really bother me all that much. If you spend a first or a second-round pick, then that's a different story.
Yeah, unless it's not a rental.
Right.
You know, and it's actually somebody that you think you're going to be part of your future.
It's kind of it's really not a great year on the deadline front either.
Yeah.
Deadline front, free agency front, there's not a ton out there.
Because to me, even – I mean, if you get the right offer for some of these guys who aren't in the long-term plans, I mean, who of them would be like a devastating loss to this particular team?
That's,
you know,
the thing. I mean, let's say somebody looks around and they love, like, Alex Carrier, and I'm just throwing his name out there because he's an unrestricted free agent, and I do think, you know, we've been talking about this for 2 years. But a decision at some point is coming up. Like, are you giving a longer-term contract to Carrier? Are you giving a longer-term contract to Fabbro? Or are we done kind of nickel and diamond
with
those? Yeah, or neither. Like, are we done kind of nickel and diamond it with those two and trying to figure out what they are? But, like, for instance, let's say they're in a playoff spot come deadline time, and the day before the deadline, some team really is like, you know what, we need a defenseman, and we need Alex Carrier, and he could play in our top four, and that's going to bring us over the top come playoff time. Like, if they offered you a second, third-round pick for him, would there be, in your mind, that much of a difference between trading off Carrier and bringing up Spencer Stastny and plugging him in somewhere? Like, I don't think there's that much of a difference. That's just me. Maybe Barry Trotz disagrees with that. But I'm just saying, yeah, to your point, like, I think you could make some of these moves, not all of them, but some of these moves without really shaking things up too much in there.
Right. And Stastny, I think, is part of the plan.
He's ready. I mean, he was ready earlier this year when he played, and he's been fantastic in Milwaukee. So he's ready to go. And Barry Trotz was on with Jared yesterday and pretty much said that, you know, he's ready to play. So it is interesting. Like, they keep winning. You know, Trotz said it again with Stilley yesterday, that he's going to let the group determine kind of the path they take forward here. So that tells me that he's at least leaving the door open to being a buyer. I don't know how much of a buyer, but at least somewhat of a buyer.
Yeah. That's fine, I guess, if it's the right fit. But, I mean,
it'd have to really be the right fit.
Yeah. I got a great fan. Speaking of angry fan, I got an interesting thread here that we can get into. Really
we'll
quickly.
Get into that. Coming up next, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Preds win last night in Vegas. They've won two in a row on the road. We'll take your thoughts on all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
What percentage of the phone calls you're taking right now or making have to do with the goalie, and how much of it has to do with other parts of the roster?
Percentage? I would probably, other parts of the roster is probably 90%.
Which would leave 10% for Soros?
Yeah, that's probably as accurate as I can be with you right now.
That's Barry Trotz.
Thanks, Jared.
Yesterday. So, Barry, what percentage of calls are you taking on the goalie versus the rest of the roster? Well, I'd say about 90% on the rest of the roster. So that would leave 10% for Staros?
Yay!
Yes, it would.
Good job, Jared.
That was awesome.
Jared got mad at me yesterday. This is a good. Do I save this for later? Yeah, I'll save it for later.
Okay. All right. 7:45, perhaps?
Well, it's not really a rant. I'll ask you now. So Jared got all mad at me about the Vanderbilt thing, about how it didn't used to be a pro town, and so that's part of the when people talk about the good old days of Vanderbilt basketball, how it used to be, like the hottest ticket in town. He said it was still that for years when pro teams were here, and I'm like, okay. Well, I mean, I'm not disputing that, but I still think there's a difference.
It was the hottest ticket in town.
He claims that Vanderbilt basketball was a much hotter ticket than the Preds in the, like.
Well, that may be true, but I mean, the Titans existed as well, and I can tell you it was not a hotter ticket than that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay, so Jared's wrong again. Thank you.
They came in their first year, went to the Super Bowl. Yeah, it was a pretty good bump after that.
Yeah, I needed your validation. I feel better. Thank you. Keezer's guy, Michael Gallagher, I want to read this tweet.
Okay.
He's not listening to us. Is he listening to us?
He's already gone. He's already done.
So I hear everything you say.
I don't believe you. All right, so he says, sure, it makes sense for the Preds to call up Igor Afanasyev, who had 9 goals, 24 points in his last 18 games, and was playing top 6 minutes for the Milwaukee Admirals, who have a 17-game win streak going to healthy scratch him for 3 straight NHL games.
Two games. He's wrong.
2 games? Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, see, first of all, even that tweet, I'm like, yeah, you know, I understand he's playing top 6 minutes for the ads who have all these wins in a row. Like, it is the NHL. But I want to get to some of the reaction. Let's see. This coach has no intention of developing youth. Total short-term thinking. I don't care. The staff is basically the same as always. Trash. Like, people mad at Brunette. It's kind of wild to me. You know,
it's so stupid.
But it's like,
and honestly, I'm trying not to just bash the entire Predators fan base, but good God, they've been annoying me the last week. Like, there are some stupid fans in this fan base, and not all of them, but my God, the stupidity has been on display just full force, really, since the Dallas game. It's been unbelievable to me. It's got to be better. Like, we got to be smarter than this as a hockey community.
Well, it's
just getting after the coach 55 games in, after you just fired the last coach, who you wanted to blame every bit of the problems on. It's all John Hines' fault. Oh, my God, get him out the door. And now 55 games into the next season, it's all over the coach again. Be smarter. Yeah. Can we please be smarter?
Which reminds me, where's Jared on this? Because Jared was very much, it was all Hines. Hines was the whole problem, right?
Yes.
Is he?
He likes him some Andrew Brunette.
Okay, so now he's still okay. He has not flipped. He has not flipped the switch yet.
Correct.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, come on. You know, like, understand that. I think beyond wins and losses, people very much, and I understand, want to see the young players on the ice. But, like, I mean, Barry Trotz has been as clear as I think he can possibly be. Like, philosophically, he does not agree with you that you just throw the young guys, and just let it. I mean, I buy into what he's saying in general. I think of baseball a lot. I think Sparky Anderson,
yeah,
very overrated manager. I mean, I love Sparky, but he used to always bring guys up for the minors and say that they were going to be the next, you know, Lou Gehrig. Why the hell am I struggling to come up with a baseball player? And then they'd send him back down in a month and they'd be ruined. Like, there's something to, you know, a timeline and being actually ready.
It's just wild. And look, there's also, I keep trying to remind people this. Barry Trotz did not draft any of these guys. None of them. So some of them are not going to be here. They are not going to work out. They're not going to play at the NHL level. And I think people really got to wrap their minds around that. And also, and this is almost a rant-worthy topic too, like, in part of that tweet of, well, the ads have won. They're taking him away from the ads. They've won 17 games in a row. If you are Barry Trotz,
that's the best.
Or anybody else that runs an NHL team, and you are, like, prioritizing your minor league team results over what you're doing with your club team, you need to be fired on the spot. Fired on the spot is what needs to happen at that point.
I mean, no one's ever, no one's ever actually had that.
Yeah. It's the, look, good for them. They've won 17 games in a row.
The citizens of Milwaukee, I get.
Great.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if they have their ad season ticket holders,
sure.
Sure. There you go.
They've won 17 games in a row. they deserve all the credit in the world for it. It's really cool. It's fun to watch. If they win another game, they'll have the second longest streak in AHL history, and then they got to win 10 more to get the first one. So there's a lot of work left to do on that front. But it's been unbelievably impressive what they can do. Is there value if they go on to go in the playoffs and win a Calder Cup? Absolutely. Like, all that's great. But if you're worried about, like, well, God, we took Afanasyev away from him, and now he's not playing up here. I guess we should just, like, we're going to worry about the Admirals, right? Like, what happens? We took him away. Like, what do we do?
Yeah, they might lose.
You can't. That's unbelievable to me. You can't do that. So, like, I get it. Some of the younger guys this year have not played as well as you hoped heading into the season. Parsonen's back down in Milwaukee. Tomasino's back down in Milwaukee. It's a process with these guys. Now, I will say, Vangelis has looked pretty darn good the last two games, so that's encouraging. Cody Glass is starting to come on a little bit after a rough year, so that's encouraging too. But I get it. Like, there are fans out there that wanted them to just go completely young and to have Evangelista and Parsonen and Tomasino and Glass and all these guys playing in the top six at the same time. And I understand the thought process behind it, but here's the other thing you have to remember. And people always worry about, like, the offensive part of this, and this is a big thing with Tomasino too. You have to play defense against some of the best players in the world. And if you're getting your head thrown into the glass every time you're trying to go out there because you can't handle that matchup, that's not good for your development. That you're just chasing the puck around at all times. That's not a good thing for confidence. So that is why you can't just hand them spots in the top six and allow them to get their head beat in on a nightly basis. It just doesn't work that way.
This has turned it. I think this has just replaced the Rex rant.
It's been a week that it's been building with some members of this fan base. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Derek in Iowa. Derek, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Talking about the fan base, maybe I'm in the minority, but it kind of seems like we need to think long term, and we need to accept that we're probably not going to make the playoffs this year, and we're building for the future, but everybody wants instant gratification and wants winning right now, and I'm just kind of sitting back waiting to see what happens. I didn't get to watch the game last night, but I watched the highlights on Sports Center this morning, and it's nice to see the young guys have their names on the boards to score. So I think the future is pretty bright, but maybe I'm in the minority. And when you guys are ranting about Stillman, I go back to when Trotz was hired and he talked about how big of a Preds fan he was and how he's a ticket holder. And I don't hear him ever talk about the Preds unless it's 5 o'clock on a Tuesday with Barry Trotz. So I'm calling Stillman a fake.
Thanks for calling, Derek.
You guys have a good day. I got to go to work.
Thank you, Derek.
Thanks,
appreciate
Derek.
It. Have fun at work.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Hey.
Look, taking some shots at Stillman. 6 o'clock.
I think the fan base this year is fine with missing the playoffs. I think the fan base was fine missing the playoffs heading into the year. I also think you got to remember, though, like, the time for, like, these, like, Andrew Burnett, and this is one of the things that's driven me nuts this week. It's like, wow, Andrew Burnett's more worried about winning than he is developing.
More worried about doing his job.
It's like, guys, there's not a coach in the league that's going to be like, you know what? I know we could try to win right now, but let me go play Philip Tomasino 22 minutes a night.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's not a coach thing. That's a management thing.
Exactly.
The coach's job is to win.
As soon as the season starts, no matter what situation you're in, the coach and the players are trying to win the games.
We're losing our minds a little bit forgetting that.
And as much, it's a funny thing is too, because here we go. We see how quickly people want to blame the coach and go right to it. And so then you're going to ask those people, and again, they get fired at a higher rate than in any other league. Then you're going to ask those people to, you know, just punt on a season? No, they're never going to do that.
Andrew, what do you think about your record this year being 20 games below 500? Does that sound good to you? Try that.
And again, we thought Vrabel was safe, and look what happened to him, you know? I mean, the whole thing is Trotz brought in some of these veterans, yeah, to set culture, but also like for people to get used to winning.
Yeah.
He wants serial winners. He likes winning in the AHL. So.
And you can disagree with that if you want to. That's fine. If you disagree with that, you disagree with it. But that's what it is. That's what they're doing.
But I think people are missing the reasoning that has been repeated over and over again. How many people? You know, you may be angry at like 9 people.
I may be.
And they may, most of but them may be on Preds Facebook.
What's the plan, Willie?
It's more than 9.
Yeah, more than 9.
I remember that. That was a good one. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Jared Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Get your free estimate today at JarrettCompaniesInc.com or call them at 615-515-1270. Again, that's 615-515-1270. I am in the questions chair this week. Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser, would you like to begin with sports or non-sports?
Let's go non-sports.
All right, non-sports. The best board game of all time. Any board game, the best one of all time. I can start if you need some time to think.
Yeah, go ahead.
There are several different ways I could go with this one. There's one I'm sure that will be on the list, so I'll leave it. I'm going Battleship. Very underrated. Battleship
is
a great game. Awesome. I played Battleship all the time as a kid. I haven't played in a while, so I need to go do that again. But Battleship, my number one board game of all time.
That's a really good one. I love Battleship. That's up there for me.
There's a lot of ones that I considered.
You know, there's a few that are really close. I love Clue. But I'm going to go the Game of Life. I really enjoyed the Game of Life. I like the Game of Life.
We're actually getting philosophical on us today.
That's right.
I like it.
You get a job and get a mortgage and all that stuff. I'd go with that. And I will go very much against Monopoly, which I hate.
I figure that's going to be on the list. So maybe not. We'll see.
Maybe not. It's up to you, Kieser. Are we all Monopoly haters?
No, I like it. Well, I'm not a hater of that game, but my favorite growing up was Candyland with my brothers.
Candyland's good.
That was a fun Battleship was going to be my
I took you as a Chutes and Ladders
one.
Guy.
Chutes, and Ladders, right. Chutes okay. and Ladders was on my list.
Catan's good, too.
Yeah, now you're getting too Risk. New school for me.
And Sorry. Risk.
Mm. Operation. Are you guys familiar with Operation?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
A lot of good
Are
ones.
We familiar with Operation?
Dude, I don't know. Like, that's some of these things.
Today's kids probably are not familiar with Operation.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that was, I mean, the commercials in the 70s were amazing. But sometimes I just don't know what fades away and what doesn't. That's a good question.
All right, sports. A coach that you wish you had the opportunity to cover. It can be past, it can be present. But a coach that you wish you had the opportunity to cover. And I could start to give you guys some time to think about this. Number one on my list, Jim Mora. I've seen some sound bites from him. And beyond just the playoffs one, which was the famous one, I mean, you know, the we didn't do diddly poo out there. I just feel like it would have been a true joy to be around Jim Mora and to cover him as a head coach. He would be number one. Honorable mention to Pat Riley. I don't know if there's many great sound bites, but just being around Pat Riley from some of the stories that I've heard is pretty darn interesting. So Jim Mora, number one, Pat Riley, number two.
I would say I like the Jim Mora. I would also say I would really not like to cover Jim Mora Jr. based on what I'm seeing from him. I'm going to go Pat Summitt.
Okay.
I was able to engaged in some press conference interaction with her when she – lost to Michigan State in the 2005 Final Four. She was fantastic, too. They lost, and she gave, like, these amazing answers on Michigan State. I was like, God, you just lost in the Final Four game. But I guess if you're Pat Summitt, you know you'll be back next year.
That's right.
But also, I feel like, one, just the greatness of Pat Summitt, but also, she just seemed from afar like just an amazing person. It would have been a lot of fun. So that'd be my answer.
That's a good one.
Tomorrow is the 44th anniversary of Miracle on Ice. Yep. Herb Brooks would be my coach.
There you go.
I think he would be such a great mind just to pick from to understand the game and how his philosophy transitioned into them becoming the team that they were to win gold, which would have been awesome to cover. So mine is Herb Brooks.
How about Torts? I mean, there's so many that come to mind.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
he was on the list.
He's fun.
Yep.
44 years.
That's a miracle on ice. That's pretty wild.
Mm. One of us was alive. It was on tape delay.
All right, back into non-sports. You win the Mega Millions. You got untold amounts of money. Your first irresponsible purchase that you make. Your first irresponsible purchase. I'll go first. I would install an indoor water park in a home that I build. I've thought about this before. What sort of stupid money would I blow? And there's several different options. But like I was actually scrolling through Instagram reels this last week, and somebody had an indoor water park in their house. I was like, that's it. That's what I want to do. I want an indoor water park in my house. And it doesn't have to be, you know, like sound waves over there at Gaylord Opryland, but a pretty decent size indoor park in my own house. That's the stupid money that I would spend.
Because you don't have to get sunburned either, which is super awesome. Exactly. So mine would be maybe getting some classic cars. My dad and I like classic cars. Now, that may be coming as a surprise to both of you that I would be interested in that, but that'd be the first thing I would be.
Nothing surprises me that comes out of your mouth.
I guess not. Not at this point, right? I mean,
that's a good idea. I like that.
I would have also maybe done a house with like a hockey rink, but the first thing that comes to mind is classic cars.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to go along the home idea. I mean, you know, I would blow money in a lot of ways, but a full court hoops court probably, like a ridiculous one, you know. Maybe a little parquet.
Mahomes got one in his house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like the speakers hooked up and everything, then buy some friends and play full court basketball every day.
Go to U2 as well.
Josh in Kentucky says, I'm buying a Taco Bell franchise and putting it in my house if I won the lottery. Just come on in, guys.
Oh, man.
Right over here.
If my Taco Bell in my home will have beef Maximals.
That's right. All right, final question back into sports. What is your favorite stadium/arena that you've ever visited? Your favorite stadium/arena that you've ever visited?
Jeez.
I'll go, Joe. The one that I visited with my dad when it was brand new was Levi Stadium. Now, I've not visited very many in my lifetime, but after my dad went to games at Candlestick Park growing up, we got the pleasure of going over to Levi's for a Stadium Series hockey game, and that was a great venue. That was one of my favorites for sure.
Yeah. It looks awesome.
I mean, this is a hard one. I'm old. I've been to a lot of places. I mean, I'd probably the Rose Bowl. It's hard to like a big game in that stadium. The setting is amazing. Yep. But I'd also put Lawrence Fieldhouse. Wait. Allen Fieldhouse. What the hell
in
is
Kansas?
Yeah. Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Lawrence. Sorry. And Cameron Indoor, like for packed huge games, those places are amazing.
I figured that wouldn't be tough for you.
Yeah,
mine's boring. I mean, it's MSG. It's awesome. And I went to Madison Square Garden after they put like $1 billion worth of renovations into that thing. And that thing, I mean, I guess I didn't know this until I was there. But like, it's like six different floors that you can go to, and it's pretty unbelievable. There's a concert hall in there. There's the actual arena that's in there where the Knicks and the Rangers play, but I was in there for a Rangers game, and it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Like Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Also, Jerry World. I'm a big fan of Jerry World, too.
I like Jerry World. Hell of a screen.
One day we're going to
sit there all day and just stare at the screen.
Yeah. One day we're going to add Lambeau Field to this list, but I got to get there first.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, man. That's the thing. The Titans won't be there anytime soon, will they?
No. I miss my opportunity.
Packers are coming here.
Packers are coming here next year.
4 years.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. This has been The Choice Is Yours. You can check it out every Wednesday morning at 6:30 here on the program. Brought to you by Jarrett Companies. You can get your free estimate at jarrettcompaniesinc.com or call them today at 615-515-1270. Again, 615-515-1270. Coming up next, we'll get to the hardwood. Interesting one for the Tennessee Vols last night. And Thank God they have a certain player. That's what I'll say heading into the tournament. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Check out Nashville's best deal of the week. It's Bavarian Beer House, conveniently located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy beer, food, music, and fun at Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, where it's Oktoberfest every day. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. The Vols on the road last night, and they were in one against a winless Missouri team, at least in the conference. Missouri dropping to 8-18 overall. They're now 0-13 in the conference. But they had Tennessee on the ropes for a lot of that game last night, and Tennessee battles back in the second half, and they end up getting out of there with a 72-67 win. Dalton Knecht, 17 points last night, 6 of 16 from the field, but made some big shots, especially in the second half. Awaka with 18 last night, so it's a big game for him. But certainly not Tennessee's best last night, but they end up walking away and avoiding disaster, losing to a winless Missouri team.
Yeah, they were – and this happens. I'm not saying there's an excuse for it, but they were completely not ready to play when the game started. I mean, we're talking the teams combined to miss 16 of the first 17 shots. That's the type of stuff you expect from Missouri. 0-13 now in the SEC, the most disappointing. I mean, Vanderbilt's not the most disappointing team in the SEC. Missouri is, and then Vanderbilt. But – and, of course, Vanderbilt beat Missouri. But just an awful start to the game. And then it's a grinder, and it's like, oh, man, they are in one. And last night to me was full display of just the difference that Dalton Knecht makes. I mean, he played 36 minutes, five more than anyone else on the team. He had 15 of his 17 after the break. He basically had a stretch in the second half where he gave Tennessee separation. He just took over the game and said, yep, I'm just going to – he was – hot. He was hitting mid-range. He was hitting threes, and it just flipped the game. So he ends up with 17-10. But also, Tobey Awaka off the bench, 18-10.
Yep.
Fantastic night. Adu, 14, to go with four blocks. So one thing I love about this team is that Rick Barnes can just adjust for whatever he needs. You know, Missouri has some length, though. He went with the two bigs together a lot. And basically, Knecht, Ziegler, and then Jordan Gainey in the second half. I mean, Vescovy and James combined to take 9 shots. They hit one. Josiah hit one. So 1 for 9 for a total of 5 points. And Josiah played 19 minutes, Vescovy 25 minutes. They didn't have it. I mean, it was minus 15 for Josiah on the floor. It was a minus 15. But they're able to just say, okay, just plug in this part, this lineup, and go. Meshack didn't. He only played 10 minutes last night. Other games, Meshack's going to play 34 minutes because of a defensive matchup. But that's great to have that versatility. It was a not great performance, but you'll take that win. And if without Knecht, that's one of those games that goes the wrong way on you.
Yeah.
Which happens in college basketball. UConn, you said in the break, they got blown out last night by Creighton. College hoops on the road can be real interesting.
Well, and now this is the part where it's crunch time and it gets really interesting from here. So Tennessee, you look at the standings, they're a half game back of Alabama in the SEC standings. They're a game in front of Auburn and South Carolina, and they've got 5 games left. So you're at home on Saturday against a Texas A&M team that you lost to a couple of weeks ago and has since just kind of gone in the tank, which has been interesting. So we'll see how Texas A&M responds on Saturday. And then after that, it's home against Auburn, on the road against Alabama, which those are 2 huge games right there, on the road against South Carolina, and then to close out the year on March the 9th at home against Kentucky. So you're in the stretch right now that we've kind of been looking forward to for the last few weeks or so, of especially the last 4 games, but you can even throw in the 5th one against A&M at home here. Auburn, Alabama, South Carolina, and Kentucky, all ranked teams, and all teams that Tennessee has played either really well against, or in South Carolina's case, got punked by earlier in the year. Now you got to go on the road. This is a really interesting stretch, a half game back on Alabama, the last 5 games of the regular season.
Yeah. First, I would expect some revenge at the expense of Texas A&M, which is just bizarre how they've fallen apart. Because when they beat Tennessee, I'm like, look, that's a team that was I mean, they were picked very high in the SEC. They got those two guards. They've got some length. Like, that's a good team. That's an NCAA tournament team. And they go out and lose to Vanderbilt, and they just completely – I mean, Arkansas beats them at home. That's a terrible loss. So, all of a sudden, they're in bad shape. They have really good wins. They've beaten Iowa State. They've beaten Kentucky, Tennessee. It's a weird, weird team. But like you said, that last four – the last four can deliver a one seed for the Vols and can deliver an SEC championship, obviously. And I continue to say a one seed is worth everything that you can do to get it just because – I know UConn got blown out last night. You do not want to be the two, and UConn's one. And I don't think you want to be the two to Purdue's one. I understand what happened to Purdue last year, and they just lost Ohio State. They're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But I would want to avoid both of those teams. So Lunardi has the Vols as the top two right now. Houston and Arizona would be in the way.
So what do they have to do to get the one here? Obviously, some of that is dependent on what other teams do. But is this a situation where they got to run the table here? Do they got to win four of the five? And, you know, if you do lose one, who does it, I guess, is the best loss in that stretch there? What do you think about what they've got to do to accomplish that and to get a one seed here?
Yeah, it's all about, like, it's just all about bolstering your resume. So that's the great thing. I mean, the opportunity is there. I mean, road wins are more valuable. So, like, I guess, really, you'd take the two road wins if you can go beat South Carolina and Alabama. But to me, if you win three of those four, one, I still think you got a good chance to at least get a share of the SEC. Maybe, you know, if the one loss is at Bama, then maybe not. Maybe, but they have a lot of tough games too. Alabama does.
Yeah.
And then the SEC tournament, you know, you need to get another couple of good wins. I mean, if you win three of those four, those last four, and I'm just going to count Saturday as a win, and then on Monday we'll come back and say, holy crap, they lost. They got swept by Texas A&M. But I don't think that'll happen. You win three of those four, and then you, like, get to the title game at least of the SEC tournament, man, that resume is going to be awfully good. And I don't know what the opportunity is, but Houston and Arizona, I wouldn't think would have as much opportunity to improve their resumes as Tennessee does. I think the SEC is the best league this year. So it's there for them, but also those are a lot of tough games. You could lose several of them. You could get bounced early from the SEC tournament.
Yeah, for sure. And look, Auburn, obviously at home is different than Auburn on the road, but when they shoot well, they shoot really well and can shoot the lights out. You handled Alabama earlier this year. Can you do it now on the road? And then, obviously, to close things out there, I mean, that game against Kentucky, number one, could mean a whole lot, and number two, is going to be pretty crazy environment at that place.
Yes.
To close out the year.
Yeah, and a chance to, if nothing else, obviously, if there's stakes there, it's that much bigger, but just to beat Kentucky is still always a big deal. And Kentucky's still really good. I mean,
yep.
We saw they went to Auburn and handled them, which I was stunned to see that Saturday. So there's a lot of fun. There's a lot of fun
Calipari
stuff ahead.
Calipari getting on the sword after the game. Blame me. Yeah. Keep talking about me. Leave my players alone. Blame me.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Dude.
Yes. He.
People are blaming you, so that's
yeah.
good.
No, we are. We are, Cal. We've been doing that,
it's
actually.
It's been happening for a while.
Yeah. Thanks.
Just throwing that out there.
Thanks, Cal. Yeah, it's going to be a really fun finish here, for sure. And, yeah, look, I mean, I don't see them falling from a two, which is the best they've ever done. They've never been higher than a two seed in the NCAA tournament, so. You know, I mean, I think that they're in good shape to get that. They'd really have to fall apart. But you know, chasing the one is well worth it. You know, whatever region you may be put in, getting the one is well worth it. And by the way, if you're a Vols fan looking to travel, they're going to be in Charlotte. I will tell you right now, they're going to start in Charlotte. So get your tickets.
There you go. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on the Preds, their big win last night against Vegas. Her thoughts on the college football playoff format being approved as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.